Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ, people who have just met usually quiz each other to get a little better acquainted. One of the early questions is, what do you do for a living? Or what business are you in? We get to know people by what they do, a lot of times. And the same with the church. Trinity, for example. What business are you in? That's one of the themes of the gospel for today. So let's take a look. Jesus came on the scene, showing up in the synagogue at Capernaum, proclaiming the kingdom and casting out an unclean spirit from a man possessed. He spoke with authority, and his authoritative words expelled the evil spirit and silenced it. Folks in the synagogue who witnessed Jesus at work were drawn to him. And after leaving the synagogue and at Simon's home, healing his mother-in-law, he enjoyed a meal served by her. But the sun set, with the Sabbath laws no longer in effect, and all the townsfolk made their way to his doorstep, bearing their sick, possessed, diseased. Mark says the whole town showed up. And Mark says Jesus healed many of them. Not all, but many of them. And before daybreak, Jesus slipped out of town. It was his one way of getting away from being waylaid by someone wanting something from him. Jesus needed his alone time, his time for prayer, his time for communion with his Father. And he had to make that happen. Nobody else would say, Jesus, you've been working really hard. Why don't you take a break, take a rest, go off by yourself and relax and recuperate. A lot of times congregations don't say that to their pastors either. Pastor, you've been working hard, you need to take a break, go take a rest. One thing about congregations, they'll let pastors work as hard as they want to. So, anyway, Jesus didn't go into hiding. He just had to get away for a while. So, the disciples didn't have too much trouble tracking him down. They wanted him to know that everyone was looking for him. He hadn't healed all the sick, expelled all the demons, cured all the diseased. And isn't that always the case? We all want something from Jesus. We want him to heal, to solve a problem, work out a relationship, help find work, make a business, get off the ground, or to prosper it, so on. And if he camped out here at Trinity Lutheran Church and word got out, Jesus is over there, there'd be a line at the door of people wanting some favor, probably clear around the block, and maybe further. And of course, we would expect Jesus to be gracious and to attend to the people's needs. And no doubt he would. But would he stay till the very last person in line had gotten his desired assistance? Didn't happen at Capernaum. And Jesus felt no compulsion to wait around for those who were looking for him. It's easy for us to be short-sighted. And what we want is Jesus, a Jesus who will cater to our desires. After all, he is compassionate and caring. And we count on that. So much so that we want what he can do for us. We want to get his help in our heartfelt praying. So we pray hard. We pray long. We don't give up. We believe that this is faith, that asking for things from Jesus is trusting him. When often, we're just trying to get something from him. And here self-centeredness masquerades as faith. Jesus feels no compulsion to wait around for those who are looking for him. He has not come as the great wonder worker, the great problem solver, the fixer. He's come as a preacher of good news, the good news that the kingdom of God is here. Oh, he'll cast out demons, he'll heal sick, as a way of confirming the good news that he is proclaiming. And the healing stuff, the curing work, the expelling of unclean spirits are not the real reason for his stepping onto the scene. Still, it's things like sickness, lameness, blindness, disease, evil spirit possessing people. It's things like work and people we work with, family and the troubles of parents and kids, and things like being out of work and not having enough food on the table that we keep bumping into day after day. It's things like living with the limitations of age and the infirmities of aging. Goodness knows, I'm 78, and the arthritis in my thumbs isn't going to go away, and bothers me every so often, and so on. And so we want Jesus to help us with them. And in wanting these things from Jesus, we fall into the temptation of using Jesus to fulfill our needs. And if he doesn't fulfill those needs, we say, well, I guess he said no. Or maybe he's saying, wait. And we keep on wanting these things as before. And like many of the folks around Capernaum, the kingdom goes over our head. Being so focused on getting the things we want from Jesus, we miss the kingdom and the good news about the kingdom. And in missing the kingdom, we miss the king. Remember the nursery rhyme? Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? Oh, I've been to London to visit the queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I frightened a little mouse under the chair. The tragedy of poor pussy is that she was more interested in mice than the queen. Jesus knows our tendency to confuse faith with self-preoccupation, chasing after life's little distractions. We want Jesus to make our life easier by removing this or restoring that, giving me this or doing that for me. It's as though there's a kind of understanding that Jesus will take care of all my woes. Much of our praying depends or betrays a kind of gimme spirit. Give me this, give me that. The spirit of self-interest that attempts to make Jesus a servant of our desires. And that's the very opposite of faith. Time and again, Jesus had to ward off followers' attempts to make him servant of their self-centeredness. It's the desire to make Jesus the kind of God who caters to our perceived personal needs. Our deepest need is to recognize the deep selfish core within that still attempts to get its way with Jesus under the guise of prayer. And precisely in dying, Jesus exposed our self-centeredness, our efforts to make him a God who meets our every need. If he were truly the Son of God, he would come down from the cross. He would save himself from his own suffering. Instead, he suffered, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. The remarkable thing about Jesus is that when we were baptized into him, we died to our self-centeredness and our self-centered nature. We crucified it with Jesus. We have received in Jesus a God who is for us so that we can be for others. True, much of what we pray for ourselves and even others would make our lives easier or more comfortable. And when Jesus announced that the kingdom is here, he healed, he raised the dead to demonstrate that he is the King of love, a king who died in order to rule in this world. You and I are the recipients of the king's love. We who would manipulate him if we had a half a chance are forgiven by our king. And get this, our king has made us who are the disloyal people, ambassadors of his love for the world. You and I, we get to demonstrate the love of Christ to one another and to the world outside the church. And we do that with the blessing of his Spirit and with the Spirit's lavish gifts. What we call personal needs. I need this, I need that, I need the other. Easily overlooks the fact that we have been lavished with gifts from God. In spite of all of the needs that we think we have, this king doesn't simply say, demonstrate my love, but he loves us. He demonstrates what love is as he helps people, as he heals people, as he attends to people's needs. And you all are recipients of his lavish gifts, gifts of his Spirit. That's what you need to love other people. Of course, need to pay bills, need to have your health and all that good stuff. But even sick people have the capacity to love even when they're sick. I remember a guy came to our church in Portland and he talked to us. He had leukemia and he was dying. You know what he was doing? He had wrestled with his own illness, his terminal illness. He knew he was going to die, and he had accepted it in faith. So what's this sick, dying man do? He goes out to other sick, dying people like himself. And he shares the love of Christ. So we who are relatively healthy have a hard time saying, well, I have nothing to give to people, when in fact you have been blessed for that purpose. Jesus didn't come just to love you and say, now, that's all there is to it. He said, go. Now you get to be like me. You get to do what I do. Love your neighbor. And care for him. And so the king taught us to pray for the big things that matter. That his kingdom come to this world. That his saving will be done. And that the kingdom work he began, keep going in us and through us as long as we live in this world. Our Lord wants us to pray and to keep on praying. Praying for the big things like the redemption, the salvation of every man, woman, and child in this world. So why else is Pastor Rieger down Nicaragua if it's not for that? Demonstrating Jesus' love for every person we pray for. We pray for a lot of people, don't we? But that's not the end of it. It's like dumping everything in God's hands. Oh, God, take care of these folks. It's a load off my mind. When Jesus asks us in that same breath, you are my light to the world. In fact, he says, you are the light of the world. In another breath, he said, I'm the light of the world. What's he doing saying, you're the light of the world? Well, you are in Christ. You have been baptized into Christ, and you are Christ to the world. The world does not know love by talking about it. The world knows love by someone loving. Being ambassadors for Jesus, of Jesus' love, means that he has given you what you need for the job, including the Spirit to keep you on track. And it remains for us to focus upon demonstrating Jesus' love. And that will always put you in touch with people. Love has to do with people. It doesn't have to do with something up in the air. It's a person. People you know or are about to know. The people are there. You have your ambassadorship. Partners with Jesus, God's messengers of love. The Lord will help you to connect with other people so that you demonstrate your love to the people whose lives you touch. Things happen when, as Christ's ambassadors, we concentrate on being Christ to one another and to the outsider. The outsider may seem a bit more unnerving, but the gifts of Christ and the gifts of his Spirit make us quite suited to be his partner. It's for us, for you, to stir up the gifts in one another so that the kingdom can have its way with you and Christ can accomplish the redemption of our corner of the world. There are plenty of people in your life in which to show love. You don't have to leave town to find them. They're in the pew, next to you, in front of you, behind you, in a nursing home, in assisted living. They're all around. And what about our needs, our health, our well-being? What about them? Yes, what about them? We'll always have needs. And our Lord knows that. But we have bigger fish to fry, greater things to attend to. We are engaged in the King's business. And you boldly state it on the front of your church bulletin. Our mission, soul focused, sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's all there. The King's business. And you've stated that. Sharing the good news of salvation to Christ. That not only tells the newcomer what your business is, it's a reminder to you so that you stick to the King's business. And don't be like the London pussycat chasing mice. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.